Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. Sorry for being tardy. I've gotten overloaded with chores, the trial, and V-Day prep. This covers some of today's news, but most is going to be left to you, and I will catch you back up on Sunday. We're doing our celebrating on Saturday. Quick shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shay Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. You keep us all informed and engaged. If any of you out there want to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head on over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing into the future. Now on to the news. The impeachment trial is grinding to a close. Trump's defense team put up what is apparently their best defense. It amounted to almost nothing but whataboutism and arguments to ignore his guilt, with almost no attempts to disprove the prosecution's case, much less anything credible. It was a string of nonsense that the senators could cite as an excuse as to why they are ignoring Trump's guilt. As any lawyer will tell you, when your client's guilty, your job is to obfuscate the facts since you can't disprove them. I won't go over it in detail here because it's honestly not worth discussing. There is a Twitter thread in the links that does just that. What I want to talk about is why this trial matters. The United States established a novel governmental model where the people choose their leaders and those leaders peacefully step down when they are voted out. When a dictator is asked to cede power, they cling to it at all costs, including violence. This was the way that things worked back then and still does in some places now. When an American patriot is asked by the majority of the country to cede power to another, they do so willingly. It was a radical notion and took men of immense character, like George Washington, to reject the lure of becoming just another monarch. America's exceptionalism came not from seizing power, but from relinquishing it. Donald Trump is not such a man. By claiming in advance that he would not accept defeat in an election, Trump blatantly rejected democracy itself. He then proceeded to undermine trust in our election process and peddle lies that it had been stolen from him. He attacked the fundamental concept of America, and it's a fragile one. All it takes to destroy democracy is to convince the people that they cannot trust the electoral process. The attack on the Capitol was only Trump's final and most violent attempt to revoke our freedom as a nation. I've also reflected that I often successfully temper my own more radical positions after picturing the contest from the opposite perspective. So for anyone who still thinks that the election was stolen, I would ask them to imagine the roles reversed. Imagine that Biden lost the election and that he and the Democratic Party claim it was stolen by Trump and the GOP. Imagine they call for votes to not be counted. Imagine Biden refuses to concede even after losing every court case, every recount, every investigation, and all his claims of fraud being debunked. Imagine every legitimate official certifies the election results, but the Democrats only grow more desperate. Imagine that Biden calls on and threatens Democratic legislators to ignore the people's vote and give him the presidency. Imagine Biden calls Republicans enemies of the state and calls for Democrats to fight to the death to overturn the election that he lost. Imagine Biden's campaign targeted his supporters' attention on the certification of the electoral votes as the last chance to stop the steal and save America from tyranny. Imagine on that day and in that place, he tells them to fight like hell to stop the certification or they won't have a country anymore. Imagine his supporters taking Biden's every word as gospel and desperate to install him as president, no matter the election results, follow his orders and invade the Capitol to physically prevent Congress from confirming Trump's victory. Imagine that they terrorize your elected officials, some in paramilitary gear, some vocally seeking to capture or kill Republican leaders who are upholding the law and democracy. And imagine that after seeing all of that, Biden does not call them off. He encourages and celebrates the attack, bragging that he caused it. He blocks authorities from dispersing it and expresses gratitude toward the insurrectionists afterward. Finally, imagine that after Biden and the Democrats' blatant assault on American democracy and American government, that the Democratic Party says there was no wrongdoing and should be no consequences. They vote not to impeach Biden, not even to reject him as a party leader. How would you feel? Would you feel that democracy is safe? That no one is above the law? Here's the thing. You may not have to imagine it, because in the end, it doesn't matter if the guilty party is Republican or Democrat, someone you've supported or someone you hate. If an American president of any stripe is allowed to get away with an attempted coup, that is the end of democracy. It is an invitation to every future president or presidential candidate to attempt a coup of their own. Why not? There's no consequence. It would be the end of the commitment to peaceful transfers of power that defined our nation as great. And eventually, one of those coups will succeed. If one party allows their president to do this, the other party can do it as well. You are not defending yourself or your party or your country by defending Trump in this. You are inviting the other side to lie, to throw out your votes, to violently silence you when they lose an election. You are inviting the death of America. All coups must be put down. All dictators must be denounced. That is why this trial matters. Moving on, you may have seen that the CDC is now saying people who have been fully vaccinated do not have to quarantine after being exposed to the virus. These are very disingenuous and dangerous headlines. The CDC did not say vaccinated people are safe. They still strongly advise mask wearing and all other safety measures for vaccinated people. This is a very specific change in quarantine guidelines, stating that between 2 weeks and 3 months after the second vaccination shot is received, people may not need to quarantine when exposed to the virus, and only if not symptomatic. Even those not suffering symptoms can still carry the virus in their throat or nose and spread it to others. It's not really even clear why the CDC chose to make this announcement. It's frankly just confusing people. They have, however, also updated their guidance on masks. New experiments have confirmed that double masking helps prevent the spread of COVID, both due to the extra layer of defense and because it helps the first mask fit better against the face. A tightly fitting mask is very important to prevent unfiltered air. Anything you can do to improve fit, including using a brace or tying knots in the strings to close gaps, helps. The general recommendation is a cloth mask over a surgical mask. Surgical masks are tested and shown to filter out particles and liquids extremely well. What's important is not that it looks like a surgical mask, but that it calls itself a surgical mask, as this is legally binding. N95s are the top of the line, but harder to come by. There are many others. Peter Ganong put together a helpful thread on the current state of the job market and the impact of fiscal policy so far. Cliff notes are that unemployment is still high, with long-term and repeat unemployment on the rise, and the checks and UI bonus have, if anything, increased employment, disproving the narrative that giving people money without the condition of employment makes them not want to work. Granted, that's obviously true when the money is a one-time payment because it doesn't provide stability. But we know from UBI trials that even long-term, regular unconditional income does not suppress the labor market. On Monday, our new favorite White House reporter, Stephen Portnoy, became the first to ask if the administration supports a UBI. The White House press secretary did not disclose a position, but said she could inquire further. It's important that when someone brings up the subject of UBI, they get positive feedback. So we're thanking Stephen Portnoy for the question and encouraging him to keep asking. Join us in the effort. But UBI isn't just reaching the White House. Reverend Wendy noted that a story on UBI ran on DC's local Channel 7 Evening News. It's really spreading, gang. As for Yang, the satirical newspaper The Onion wrote an article on him, which appears to be poking fun at either his nice guy attitude or the smear campaigns trying to make him out as the devil. The story was basically Yang being extremely lewd and crude, telling New Yorkers off in the most extreme terms, and flouting his dominance in the polls. Scott is already calling for new merch in commemoration. Link below. Finally, Students for Yang have launched a Twitter account for, well, exactly what it sounds like. They also made a snazzy promotional video. Engaging students is a huge deal and something that Yang does exceptionally well. Take a moment to improve their outreach by giving them a follow at the link below. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Urge your senators to vote to convict for the sake of democracy. Share out mask tips. Bookmark and share the unemployment data. Thank Portnoy for asking about UBI. Follow Students for Yang. Flood Congress with calls, tweets, faxes, and letters using the Resist Bot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way. And don't forget to Yang Daily.